Welcome to Calvary Church, where we are dedicated to loving God and loving people. If you want to know more about us, please check us out online at calvary.ca. Now let's check out this week's message.
Well, hello, Calvary Church. It is an honor to be here. Really, I take it as a great honor because I've been a pastor for many years, and I know to have someone stand in your pulpit is very, very, very important that you understand who it is and you know them. And I love your pastors, and I love that we've got to build a relationship over the years, and I love that you're in our city, and I love church. So let's go. We're talking about fathers because it's Father's Day. And I really love the topic of fathers. My wife asked me many years ago, she said, John, so what do you think is your greatest strength? And without even thinking, I said, Dad. I'm a good dad. Why? Because I just love being dad. It's my favorite title. I've had a lot of titles over the years. You know, I've been a dentist, so I had the doctor title. And then you go pastor, and you get the pastor. And then people go, he's the reverend. I don't think I've ever fit that one. But the one I do love the most is dad. So let's talk about Father's Day. And to give you a little bit of history, I was raised in Vancouver, born in Vancouver, raised in Vancouver. I'm the second oldest of 11. My dad was like Superman in every way. I loved growing up in our home. And my favorite story of my dad, and this wasn't something I made up, this happened all the time. Back in those days, all the kids would gather together and we would play football or something on the streets. You know, and there wasn't the traffic problem and all of that. But back then, often the kids would come knocking on our door and ask if my dad could come out to play. He was the biggest kid on the block. The thing about my dad is he never let us win. He really was the biggest kid on the block. But, you know, having a dad like that gave me a desire to be a dad. So I remember, I'll never forget that first moment of becoming a dad where my oldest daughter, where she was born, and I was forever, what you call it, Twitter-pated, I was forever gone. I was a lost case because of her. And I said this over the years to many young men that are approaching becoming a dad, and I always tell them, you need to just watch the miracle that happens, because when you become a dad, your shoulders grow 2 feet, literally, because of the responsibility that is on you. And I remember so many things changed, but one of the things that so got my attention was driving home from the hospital. And there's not just two of us, there's three in the car, and it's growing. And so we actually have had 3 daughters, and now we have 8 grandchildren. And our youngest grandson is 18, and I look up to him, he's 6'6". And it's been a journey that I have loved all the way. I actually ended up, like most dads of daughters, if you wait long enough, you get to the place of becoming what you don't want to be, which is father of the bride. I hate that movie. Why? Because it's kind of so real. But I remember becoming father of the bride and walking my oldest daughter down the aisle. And I actually walked her down the aisle. And then instead of a preacher saying, who gives this bride to be married? There was no preacher because I was going to be the preacher. So I turned to her and I made this statement, you know, 19 and a half years ago, God gave us this sunshine. Da, da, and I lost it. And I knew I would. So the thing is, you have to plan when you're going to lose it. And I got it back again and walked up the platform, and her husband, Rod, they stepped up, and it was amazing. But I learned some things being a father-in-law. And for all of the dads in the room, and you want a little bit of advice from an older guy, when your daughter or your son gets married, those children that they marry become your children. And my advice is double the fathering, because you know the fathering you put together and apply to your children, but you don't know where their spouses are coming from, and you want them to be on the same page. And so if I could go back, that's one of the things I would do over and over again, is just double the fathering. The biggest thing, though, that I've learned over the years is that we have an enemy, and he hates family. He hates fathers. And if you are going to be a successful Christian and make a difference in this world, and as a minister, as a pastor, I recognize I'm called to make a difference. And so I recognize I am going to make a difference by fighting the good fight of faith. But when you do that and you have children, I want you to know that there's a bullseye on your back, and it doubles for your children. Why? Because if you are being a strong Christian and making a difference, the devil's tried to get you. But if he can't get you, he'll go for your kids. And so you have to know how to fight. And many times things have come against our family, us. And my wife said this years ago, and I just really believe it's a really good thing to remember. Anything that drives you to your knees is a good thing. Really. Anything that drives you to your knees. And if you're going to be a parent, you're going to be a father, you're going to get driven to your knees. And that's a good thing, so that you can stand in faith and you can do the fight of faith for your children and for the generations to come. So if I look back over the years of being a dad and try to kind of synthesize what would be the most important lessons I've learned, let me give you the top three. Number one is you actually love that leads. The love that you have is what they follow. Your love, and love is not a feeling. Love's an action, and love's going to cost you. Love is called sacrifice, actually. You know, Jesus so loved us that he sacrificed. He died on the cross. He didn't die on the cross because they killed him. He died on the cross because he gave his life. That's what love is. Love is taking the opportunities to give your life. And children, and everybody actually, but we're talking about fathering, so we're talking about family, and we're talking about children. Your children follow your love. They follow your heart. I love this in Ephesians chapter 5 in the Amplified Version. It says, therefore, become imitators of God. Copy him and follow his example as well-beloved children imitate their father. Well-beloved children. Not all children imitate their fathers because they're not well-beloved. And you're well-beloved when you can see the love that costs for your sake. Love that's actually shown in terms of time that we set aside, even in mostly, especially when it's not convenient, especially when there's other things pressing. It's seen in the actions that we do and the words that we speak. Everything we do is interpreted through that lens. And over the years, I can't tell you how many times we've been asked the question, how do you raise children to love God, to love church? And as a pastor, that's really important. I don't want my kids, like so often the story is, you know, the pastors lead the rest of the church, but the pastor's kids are going the other way. Well, how do you raise them to love the church and love God? Easy. You love God and love the church. They will follow what you love, as long as they know that you love them. Because if they're well beloved, then they imitate and they follow. And that's, I think, so important. Over the years, being a pastor, I was a dentist first and then became a pastor. And, you know, life gets busy. And we'd have people ask us, so how do you balance everything? How do you raise your kids with all this going on in your world? And I think this is an important lesson we've learned, bring them on the journey. Take your kids on the journey with you. What journey? Well, life is a journey, not from here to there or now to then. Life is a journey from who you are to who you're becoming. And when you take your kids on that journey, they recognize you're not perfect. You don't wait until you got it all figured out. You take them on the journey and show them who you are and how you're growing and how you're changing. And you'll have opportunities to ask for forgiveness. You'll have multiple opportunities to get back up because you messed up. Some of the best things we can teach our children is how to get back up again. So many parents are trying to teach them how not to fall. They will come up with a new way, I promise you. But if you teach them how to get back up again, no matter what's happened, they'll keep on going. If you get up again, you win. And parenting is, I think, the most important role, the most valuable role, the most difficult and challenging role that God gives us. And you can't actually give away love that you don't have. So it starts with you. It starts with you receiving God's love for you, receiving God's grace, which is his get back up again strength for you. And when you receive that undeserved love, and you got to know the love that God has for you, you did not deserve it. None of us did. And when you receive that undeserved love, then you've got something to give away, which is undeserved love. And that's the most important love you can give away to your children. Not when they deserve it, not when they do everything right, but sometimes when they are at the lowest of the lowest, they're beating themselves up over what? And you just walk into the situation and you love them beyond measure. And then hopefully you'll get to let them in on how come you can do that. Well, because you got loved beyond measure when you didn't deserve it. I mean, that's all the huge things in parenting. Receiving his love, receiving his grace so we can then give it away. Ephesians 5, we've all heard this when it comes to marriage, but it applies to everything. Paul said, he wrote, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. That's a love thing that is seen, is shown. That's a sacrifice thing. And it's not just for our wives, but it's for our children and for the people in our world. If we are going to make a difference in this world, we actually need to love that leads. In James chapter 1, one of my favorite verses, it says we need to lead how? With our ears. Be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath or react. Be quick to hear means just actually taking time to listen. And I thought this over the years. My kids are brilliant. I know yours are too. And sometimes we haven't taken the time to learn from them. I remember one of the lines I've said to my kids growing up all these years. I said, when I grow up, I want to be just like you. And they laugh at me. Dad, you're already growing up. No. We're all learning. And I think we've forgotten more than we remember about all the great things being a child. So listen to them. Lead with your ears. Sacrifice is always something that's in front of us, opportunities to give our life and make a difference in our life. Many have said, I don't have a lot of time. I'm so busy, busy, busy. Heard this over the years. So what? Well, I just make it quality. Try that sometime. If you're married, just go to your wife and say, I don't have a lot of time. Let's make it quick. You are in trouble. Why? Because when you said, I do, I will love you for the rest of my life till death do us part. It meant you give your time. Time, tick, 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 is life. And you can't choose quality. Quality will come, but it always comes out of quantity. And so quantity of time is really part of how we can love our kids. Give them that time. I remember so often, you know, when I first became a pastor, it was because of a miracle God did in my life, because I used to be a really bad stutterer. And the worst thing in the world for a stutterer is to read out loud, because the words are on the page and you got to say what's there. And as soon as you think I got to say that, you think I can't say that. And so you stutter to say it. And so part of the way that I learned to overcome it was every night I'd read to our girls and, you know, put them to bed at night, and I'd read, and often I'd be reading and they'd be sleeping already, you know. But many times it would just be an opportunity when, you know, I'm reading away and I think they're asleep, and one of the hands comes up and grabs me and says, "Daddy, tell me, how'd you fall in love with Mommy?" Just those moments that will punctuate your raising your children. And you don't get those moments in demand. You get them out of giving every moment, out of quantity. Wow, there's so much I could say. But let me go on to the next thing that I think is so important in parenting. Okay, these are the top three, or the three great fathering principles. One is love that leads. Number two is vision that frames. Hebrews chapter 11. I use the word frame because Hebrews chapter 11 verse 3 says, "By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of the things which are visible." Do you know our words are powerful? Life and death is in the power of the tongue. And we get to actually frame with our words the future that our children can grow into. Okay? We don't cause the future, but we can frame their future that they can grow into. And in order to do that, you got to have the vision. What's God's vision for your children? And you won't get that unless you hit your knees. And I think that's so important. Dads that'll spend time in prayer. "God, show me who my daughter is. Show me who my son is. Show me who my spouse is." And God already knows. If you read your Bible, you know there's a picture in there. Words actually paint pictures. That's what words are. They're paintbrushes. And the Word of God has painted a picture of your children, your great children, your grandchildren, great grandchildren. And if you ask God, He will actually show you that picture. I remember our lives got so turned around when our first 4 years of marriage, my wife will tell you it wasn't very good. You know, I thought, well, everything's going good, but she wasn't happy at all with it. And after 4 years, I graduated from UBC, moved up to Williams Lake, and she wasn't coming. And she just couldn't handle the pain. What kind of pain? I never said much to her because I stuttered. So it was very, very dry, our marriage. And she stayed behind, had this epiphany moment with God. She opened her Bible. It came alive to her. She thought God was mad at her, but she found out that reading the Word of God had painted a picture of a God that wasn't mad at her, that loved her. And, you know, like the prodigal, he came running to put a ring on your finger and all that. And it just changed everything. And then it wasn't too long after that where she had this revelation, and she thought, "God, I know you love me. I believe you love John too." And then she takes the Bible. "Could you show me why?" Because what she saw wasn't lovable. She wanted to know what he saw. So she began to read her Bible, and everything that talked about a man of God, about a husband, she'd circle it and put John in the margin. I think that's so important. You need to recognize that in the Word of God, you will find a picture for your children. You'll find a picture for whoever you're looking for. And that vision is, once you get it from, it's God's vision. It's not a hopeful or a nice, you know, fantasy, all fiction. No, it's the Word of God. And when you get that vision, out of that, you'll begin to speak different words. Your language will actually paint that picture, which is what you need to do as a father. Fathers that are building their children have to actually know where they're building them. And today, our culture is like, let the kids figure it out themselves. You know, they don't know who they are, but down deep, maybe they could figure it out. No. We need to help them grow into the men and women of God that God's already said they're going to be. And you do that with your words. So important. Vision actually grows purpose. It grows identity. And today in our world, that's the number one and two things that our young people are looking for, purpose and identity. Let's get that from the Word of God. So if you think about vision, where do you get vision from? Number one's the Word of God. But number two is the people that you hang around. And that's why God's put church the top of the list. Church is this place where you get to hang around and see generations. We just came from a conference where the generations were so celebrated as we saw the pastors that had started this church pass the baton to their children, and you see them raising their grandchildren. All of that you see in the church. I think church is the healthiest place on earth. Jesus said, I will build my church, and the devil can't do anything about it. In the church, we learn to be strong in the Lord. We learn to fight the battles. We walk away on a Sunday. This happens over and over again with more than we even know we got. There's a lot of people who go to church and they so what did you learn today? I don't know, but your life is different. It's changed as a result. The things you've seen, you can't unsee. And the things you see that are already part of what God's put on the inside of you, it triggers something. And it causes you to want that and to work toward that and actually become that person that speaks and frames the future for your children. Recognize this too. Often our children, when they're growing up, they forget who they are. They get lost, especially teenage years. They're trying to figure out who they are. And parents, let me just encourage you, don't you get lost. Don't you forget who they are. They are still that person you saw when they're 5 or 6 years. I think 5 years old is maybe the age that's that is most amazing, because you recognize 4 and 5 years old, they've become individuals. And you know who they are. You know what God's put in them. And sometimes they get lost, don't you? You become the anchor, the hope that brings them back to that place where they can become, again, who they know they're supposed to be. And I'm not talking from just a bunch of academic, this should be. I'm talking from experience. I mean, we've gone through stuff that I wouldn't even want to tell everybody, because it's challenging. But if you'll just hang on to the Word of God and believe that His vision, what He said will be, you become the anchor for your children. And the third one I want to talk about in the fathering keys that I've learned is warfare that conquers. If you are going to be a successful parent, you better know how to fight, because you're in a battle whether you like it or not. The devil has come to steal, kill, and destroy. And he's put your children way up there on the list. They got a bullseye on them. I spend a lot of time with other young pastors, and one of the things I love to do is to meet their kids. And I often end up telling the pastors, I love you guys, but I love your kids more. And because I recognize the battle that's going on, and I think we need to raise our kids, part of vision is to give them heroes. Raise our kids to have heroes in the faith. Because it's amazing how you can say something to your kids and they can't hear you. But someone else comes along and says the same things, and oh, that's so amazing. That's what happens. And so we have loved to become those heroes for many kids. Not too long ago, I'm in a city in our country with an amazing pastor and their family, and they've got 3 kids, and their youngest is dating, and it's very serious. So we went golfing, and their youngest is a she. And her boyfriend wanted to golf, so we went golfing, and they put him in the cart with me. And it took about 5 minutes for me to get all the questions that need to be said out. And then for the rest of the round, I just was trying to tell this young man what it's going to take to be successful, because he was planning to ask her to be his wife. And one of the big things I kept telling him is you need to recognize when you say I do, two of you become one, there's going to be a bullseye. And because she is a PK, your bullseye is going to be really, really big. So you need to know how to fight spiritual battles, how to take on those lies that come. And the only way you do that is with the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. That's why church is so important. You can tell your kids all the time to read your Bible, and sometimes they can't hear you, but they come to church and they see other young adults, other teenagers that are strong in the Lord and know what the Bible says, and it changes everything. It makes such a difference in their lives. And so recognize how important warfare is. 2 Corinthians 4:13 says, "And since we have this same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believed and therefore I speak. We also believe and therefore speak." What's coming out of your mouth? If it's not what's going to be, if what's coming out of your mouth is what is already, you're not changing anything. That's not spiritual warfare. Jesus said this, "Most assuredly I say to you, if you say unto this mountain, be removed, and don't doubt in your heart, but believe those things will come to pass, you will have what you say." You will have what you say. So don't say what you have already. It's like getting in an elevator and pushing the button for the floor you're already on. You're not going anywhere. You need to say where you're going. Find out what does the Bible say, and then stand on it. If you see the battle happening in your family and you recognize the Bible says, "All my children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be their peace and undisturbed composure," you stand on what the Word says. "I believed it and therefore I spoke it." So much of what spiritual fighting is what's coming out of our mouth. But that's got to be what's coming out of our heart. So we got to get it into our heart first. We need to ask God, "Who are my kids? Who are my spouse? Who am I?" And then begin to make sure that is the reality that you speak out of. That's warfare. And I tell you, over and over, over the years, I can't tell you how many times I've talked to young married couples and they're having challenges. And my answer is exactly what I'm telling you now. You need to go to war, and you need to find out what does the Bible say and stand on that in your marriage. We will have what we say, not what we have. We actually need to learn to pray. And another thing so important is pray in the Spirit. You know, when you pray in the Spirit, you're praying God's will. And you don't know what, you don't know. Romans chapter 8 actually says that in verse 26. It says, "Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself makes intercession." He prays for us. He makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. That's praying in the Spirit. I can't tell you how often I pray in the Spirit. I almost pray in the Spirit without thinking. It's always happening. And when you don't know how to pray, know that God does. And you don't have to bring up all the words and say all of the thoughts, because he's already got it all. So when you pray in the Spirit for your children, you stand in the gap for your children. You become whatever God needs you to be for your children. That's what fathering is all about. Fathering is, I think, the greatest privilege Fathering is about raising children that'll go beyond you. Fathering is about sacrifice, giving your life for what's more important than your life right now. And all of that happens when we understand it and we put it into practice. Just some simple things. You know, my dad, loved my dad. He's in heaven now for about 6 years, but he raised 11 children. And for much of my life, I had a chip on my shoulder because he wasn't the perfect dad in any way, but I loved him anyway. And I remember this was probably back about 20 years ago. It was a Father's Day, and you know what you're supposed to do on Father's Day. You're supposed to call your dad and wish him Happy Father's Day, Dad. And so I did. We were driving from one location to the next service, and I picked up the phone. Isn't it funny when you pick up the phone, you do this these days? All the young people don't, what is this? So I think I should change it to this. Anyway, I picked up the phone, and I called my dad, and he answered, and I said, "Hey, Dad, Happy Father's Day." "Oh, thanks, John." He's ready to hang up like normal. And I said, "Dad, what?" "Don't hang up." "Why?" "I just want to say something." "What?" "I just want to say that I'm glad you're my dad. I love you." Silence. And then this crackly voice comes, I love you too. Have a good day." Click. That night we went to my brother's house, and with, you know, five brothers and five sisters and all their kids, there's 90-something. Well, now there's over 100. It's called a crowd. And I walk into this crowd, and Dad sees me and makes his way through the room, puts his arms around me, and gives me a kiss. Weird. And then says to me, "Have I ever told you how proud of you I am?" Every child wants that, needs that. It's that identity that we long for. And then he said, "Look in my face. I want you to know that I love you. And don't you ever forget it." You know, from that day on, I never left his presence where he didn't tell me he loved me. And he's proud of me, put his arms around me. But not just me, all my siblings. It literally changed the world. And we're here to change the world. We're here to make it a better place. And I can't think of a better place to start that than in your family. So some of you probably are feeling a little stirred right now and recognize that maybe you need to pick up the phone and call Dad or call your children. Pick up the phone and say what needs to be said that hasn't been said. Make a difference. Okay, if you keep on saying the same old thing, nothing changes. Everything is the same and it's invisible. But if you're going to make a difference, you got to do something you've not done before. What do you need to say that needs to be said? Happy Father's Day. Let me close in prayer. Father, I pray for everyone listening. I ask for your strength. Lead us and guide us. God, I ask for opportunities to step out, be the dads, be the children, be the person you've called us to be. I ask you to open our eyes to see what you see. Open our eyes to see in the Word of God, my children, my spouse, my parents, see what you see. And then, Lord, give us the strength and plant that in us, that out of our hearts will flow rivers of living water and words that frame great futures. I thank you, Lord, you are changing our world through us, and we are so in love with you. All this I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you.